Well, welcome this morning. Today we are going to be looking at the Lord's appointment of his 12 disciples. And one of the things that stands out in his commissioning of them is that he didn't ask for volunteers from the crowds that followed him. He went up into a mountain, we are told, and from there he called out. He called them out. Yet as we shall see, they had to respond. At a deeper level, however, the Lord is constantly seeking to call out from within us those things, the principal elements that he can use to further the object of his love, which is the salvation of the human race. For in calling out his disciples, the scriptures say that he named them. Names within the word always speak of the quality of a thing named. So in this naming by the Lord, we see that spiritually, the word is describing not so much the calling of individual people, but the calling forth of the essential qualities that form the foundation of any true church. This can be seen in the qualities attributed to each of the disciples by means of their names, or the meaning of their names. For example, Simon the Lord surnamed Peter. Simon means obedience or hearing, and Peter means rock, which is a correspondence, of course, of truth. We see then that the first principle named, or quality that makes up the church, that is, of the truth, that is the truth a person gains from seeking to live a life in obedience to the word. James represents the principle of loving the neighbor, and John of love to the Lord. So we see that there is much more in the calling of those disciples by name than just the historical event. And we shall see in today's sermon that the Lord continually seeks to draw those qualities out in us in our daily living of our lives. Let us pray. This reading from the Word this morning is from the book of Exodus, and we're reading chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Now these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt. Each man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun and Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad and Asher. All those who were descendants of Jacob were 70 persons, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, all his brothers and all that generation. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. And our reading from the Gospel of Mark from chapter 3, reading verses 13 through to 19. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. And he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses, and to cast out demons. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder; Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. And they went into a house. And reading from the Heavenly Doctrines from the work The Arcana Celestia, paragraph 6637. The term church is not used because it is the place where the word is and teachings are drawn from it, or because it is where the Lord is known and the sacraments are celebrated. Rather, it is the church because it lives in accordance with the word or with teachings drawn from the word and seeks to make those teachings its rule of life. People who do not live like this do not belong to the church but are outside it. And those who lead wicked lives, thus lives contrary to that teaching, are further away outside the church than Gentiles who know nothing whatever about the word, the Lord, or the sacraments. For since those people are acquainted with the forms of good that the church fosters and with the truths it teaches, they annihilate the church within themselves, something Gentiles cannot do because they are unacquainted with those things. It should also be realized that everyone who leads a good life in charity and faith is a church and is a kingdom of the Lord. He is for that reason also called a temple and a house of God too. Those who are churches individually, no matter how remote from one another they may be, constitute one church collectively. Entitled The Making of 12. And today we come to the description of the Lord's calling of the 12. And this marks a significant point in the Lord's work of laying the foundations for a new church through which His love for the human race could be worked out in it and its salvation secured. We spoke some weeks ago now of the significance of numbers in the Word when we discussed the carrying of the paralyzed man by the four. We saw then that the number four has specific reference to the idea of the conjunction or the joining of good and truth, and how this idea helps us to understand that story. What then of the number 12? In Greek, this number is dodeca and combines the Greek numbers for 2 and 10 in a way that means 12. Spiritually, this is significant, and we need to understand the significance of both the ideas captured by the number 2 and the number 10, that our thought might be led into the spiritual meaning of what is happening here. But before we do that, let's listen to this passage from the New Church teachings from the work The Arcana Celestia with regard to the importance of numbers in the Word. Be it known that all numbers in the Word signify real things, which is very well known in the other life, where at times papers full of numbers are let down from heaven to spirits beneath, and such spirits as receive influx from the Lord know from the numbers the things signified, in a continuous series, as if it had been written with letters. It has also been given to me sometimes to see such papers, and it was also said that some of the most ancient people, who as to their interiors were in company with angels, enfolded and stored up in numbers as a memorial for themselves, things of their church and heavenly arcana. From this it can be seen that all the numbers in the Word are significant of real things, for there is not in the smallest expression in the Word which is not, because it was written not only for men, but also at the same time for angels in heaven. From this the Word is divine as it passes through all the heavens. This alerts us to the need of keeping our thinking free of natural ideas when reading the Word. While numbers are of great benefit to the angels when the Word is read, they can also assist us to see things in spiritual rather than natural terms. The Word describes here that calling of 12, and I want us to focus on the fact that this number is not abstract, but signifies a real thing, spiritually speaking. So rather than seeing the number 12 as an adjective describing the properties of this group called out, this group of people, this group that consisted of 12 people, we need to do a reversal in our thinking to see that the actual 12 names describes the properties belonging to this spiritual thing called 12. From the Arcana, again, we read 12 used in regard to tribes and apostles are not used to mean 12 or tribes or apostles, but 12 is used to mean all things in their entirety. The same is true of the number 144, for this is 12 12. And since 12 means all things, it is evident that the 12 tribes means all things constituting the church, all things of truth and good, or faith and love. The same is also true of the 12 apostles, who as well represent all things constituting the church, that is, all things of faith and love. We can now see the significance of the Greek number dudeka, or 210. If 12 is in general all things of the church, then rather than 12, we could actually say church. The number 2 means union and speaks of connecting ideas that we hold to from the word about how we should live our lives with life itself, of actually living according to our faith. That is what the number 2 is about. For this is the only way by which a person can be connected to the Lord. So the number 2 is about being in the effort to live our lives in the spirit of loving our neighbor and loving our Lord, of attending to those things in us that are contrary to being a loving person. If we do this, then we become a church in our hearts where it counts. Only in this way can our minds become a home in which the Lord can dwell. Of the number 10, the Arcana says that 10 in the internal sense means that which is full and complete. This is why when speaking of the number 12, the heavenly doctrines state that the number signifies all, or what is complete in terms of faith and charity. The Lord's work in coming into the world was to glorify His human, to make it divine. This involved the removal of those affections and thoughts he inherited from a human mother and replacing them with a divine human from the Father. This process involved drawing to himself every conceivable idea that could be drawn from the Word by angels and men and ordering them in such a way that meant that he can be present with us, present in those ideas and affections about spiritual things that we entertain in our own mind from the Word. And in this way, He is joined to us. As long as people seek to live good lives from their understanding of the Word, even where that understanding contains mistaken ideas, the Lord, as a result of His work on earth, can now be joined to them. Spiritually, the appointing, or as the Greek says, the making of 12, is no less a creative act than that described in the opening chapters of the book of Genesis. In fact, that speaking into being by the Lord of all that is a parallel act that points to this act, which involves the calling forth into being His church, the spiritual man within us all. Notice that Jesus is said to have gone up onto a mountain, while the Greek actually says that He stepped up into the mountain, which is more consistent with the spiritual understanding of the passage. To step up is to be elevated, and in this we see the Lord entering into an elevated state of love. For the mountain, when spoken of, the Lord is love. And from here, love calls to itself every conceivable form of good and truth within us that is serviceable to our salvation. Only that which can be allied to this end will heed the Lord's call, will be drawn to Him, and we see this beautifully described in the text, for literally it describes the process this way. And He is ascending into the mountain and is calling to whom He wills, and they came away toward Him. This speaks of the ordering of our inner world, our thoughts and affections represented by the disciples, that the Lord might more fully dwell within us and that we might be more fully able to express His love toward others. The Lord wills for our happiness, and this is only achievable, and that which exists in us of Himself, that is His Word in us being drawn and joined to Him. In the last verse of today's reading, we see this end described. The last sentence of verse 19 states, "And they went into a house." But this can be translated, "And they are coming to be a house." It may sound clumsy in English, but it captures wonderfully the spiritual meaning of this passage. For the word is describing the coming into existence or ordering of the human mind so that it is able to house the loves of heaven there. Able to house them even while we are here on earth. House loving the Lord and love to the neighbor as that mind is created to do. The motivation behind the creation of a house within the human heart and mind is found in verses 14 and 15, where we read again, fairly literally, "Then He makes 12, whom He also names apostles, that they may be with Him and that He may be commissioning them to herald and to have authority to cure diseases and to cast out demons." Everything good and true that is within us is from the Lord, and He calls us to return these things to Him. These are what He makes 12, and in giving them the name of apostle, He describes their collective quality as that of being sent. For to name a thing is to attribute to it its quality, and love calls what is of the Lord in us sent. Or apostle. Here is an important lesson for us. When people see themselves as the source of things good and true and are not willing to acknowledge the Lord, then what we have there is the root cause of every dis-ease and demonic activity the human race is subject to. For all that the Lord possesses, He desires to give to others, but He cannot do this while we hang on to that which is His own within us. All that is of the Lord has this quality associated with it, the quality of sentness. For all that we possess is ours for one purpose alone, that it may be given to others. This is the nature of heavenly love. All things, good and true, that we have access to contain the Lord within them, and He orders them within our lives as we seek to walk the spiritual path, to practice the life of repentance. This life cannot be held to ourselves, for others are in need of hearing how the Lord works in the lives of those who seek to know Him better. We have a responsibility to share this life, to share it with others that they may be built up and encouraged. Hence we read that those called to Him are required to proclaim the reality of the experience of the spiritual life and its processes to others. These things we are called to proclaim, to testify to. We are to become heralds of the power of His Word in our lives. The New King James Version we read says preach, but this is too narrow a definition and may lead us to mistakenly relegate the proclamation of testifying of the experience of the Lord's activity within the lives of people to some select group. These disciples do not represent a select group of people or a ministry. They represent the qualities within all those who are being regenerated by the Lord. And a healthy church, whether that church is understood to be the individual or the collective, will base its fellowship and relationships with others around the sharing of what the Lord has done and can do in their lives. It is only in giving that we can receive. Through purposing to base all our relationships with others on the sharing of our experience of the Lord's Word and the heavenly doctrines, we enter into the life for which we were created. A life of new church spirituality is a life of testifying to the reality, the personal reality of the Lord's second advent within our lives. Human relationships could be said to exist for this very purpose, exclusively so. When we read of those in both the most ancient and ancient churches, when they were at the height of their spiritual health, we see that only what was good and true passed between people, and it is in this that the Lord was recognized. The human mind has a will and an understanding, and both these faculties are given to us by the Lord so that we can receive what is good and true from Him directly and from Him through others. This is what these faculties are designed for. And from these, we have a body which is designed that the things of the mind and heart can be expressed in the external world toward others. This doesn't mean that we need to box people around the ears or the head with the Bible or the teachings of the church. But what it does mean is that we should be trying to cultivate within ourselves a sensitivity that in each situation and relationship we enter into, that the purpose of it is for the sharing of things good and true. We need to be able to see that all our relationships exist for the purpose of enriching the lives of others. It may be that all that is required is something as simple as a friendly smile, a loving touch, or words of comfort and encouragement. If these simple acts stem from being conscious of the Lord's presence in every human encounter, then they can be a powerful heralding or proclamation that the Lord's kingdom has come in that situation. Most people are plagued with dis-ease or a lack of peace in their lives. The things that you have received into your life from the Lord, the love you are able to share, the truth of the spiritual principles that you live by, are the things by which the Lord is able to touch others Everyone you contact in your daily life has been brought to you under the Lord's providence. We have to come to see this. And they've been brought there that he might be better known, both by you and those you encounter. And looking to share your life with others in a spiritually conscious way releases you from the disease that arises from living out of our selfishness. An interesting word in the Greek, the word disease. It comes from a Greek word meaning to dote, as in to dote on someone. So we see there that it really is focusing on where our affections lie. In the case of this form of doting, the Greek dictionary tells us that it is to have a morbid fascination for something. Thus all morbidity is misplaced affections or a love of keeping alive negative emotions and unclean lusts within us. Focusing only on what is good and true in our interactions with others allows the Lord to enter in and bring healing. The authority spoken about to heal and cast out demons is the authority of living an authentic spiritual life. And as disease refers to our affectional life, so demons refer to false ideas that arise from harboring unclean emotional states. To enter into an authentic new church spirituality is to enter into this great work of bringing healing to each other and to those who are yet to come into the knowledge of the Lord through authentic relationships based on the sharing of all things good and true given to us from the Lord. There is no greater calling to which any human being can be called than that of truly loving one another. Amen.